Oak at Memorial Day at Belmont. Tisway, a son of Tisnow, sprinted a mile in 1:32.4 to win the Grade 1 Metropolitan. Tisnow has sired 15 Grade 1 stakes winners. He's been sensational at stud. One of those 15 Grade 1 runners is Tis Deja Vu. Tis Deja Vu was a long stride and catch-me-if-you-can runner. He won the Grade 2 Firecracker Handicap at Churchill, leading from wire to wire. Wired the field to take the Grade 2 American Derby at Arlington, going a mile in 3/16. Wired them again to win the Grade 2 Jefferson Cup, mile and an eighth at Churchill. Did it again to take the opening verse stakes around two turns at Churchill. That was a track where he was virtually unbeatable. He also set the pace deep into the stretch in the Grade 1 Secretariat Stakes to finish third at the American Classic distance of a mile and a quarter. Tis Deja Vu is being well received, and this is first year season at stud. Always room for one more good mare. He stands for $5,000 doing a full stands and nurses. Your inspection is invited. Stands at Crestwood Farm. Inquiries at Pope McLean and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. And let's see. I've got Michael Blowen with me and Dr. Doug Byard with me. And Michael, you had a pretty good weekend too, I understand.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. We had a wonderful time. I went up to Saratoga, and in fact, you just mentioned Tisway. I got to see Tisway.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and looks great.
Yeah.
Of course, out of a Will's Way mare. So, little old friends connection.
Where is Will's Way?
Will's Way is an old friend's up in New York. He's doing a great... Mr. Clifton was talking about what great heart Will's Way had. It was really nice. Yeah. So that was really nice to see that horse. And it was nice talking to Steve. He's talking about John Hall. You know, I knew John back when he was at Suffolk Downs training horses. Mm-hmm. And John's been very helpful since we came down here. And he was instrumental in getting that horse you wanted us to get, Hidden Lake.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just happened to be going through a catalog and I saw her in there, and I thought, my God, she belongs over at Old Friends.
Yeah, she's doing great, too.
Yeah, I think she's been barren 3 years or something.
Quite a few.
She's getting a little aged. And
she wasn't very profitable to begin with.
She never
produced much, but she certainly produced on the racetrack. She was an amazing racehorse.
Yeah, she was got an Eclipse Award.
Yeah, 1997.
Yeah. I guess.
I was there the day that she won the Gopher Wand. I'll handle the 90s. You handle the 50s.
Okay. I'll let you go.
You can go to the 60s,
too.
I can't pick up to the 80s. I don't know anything until the 80s.
Until the 80s.
Yeah, not much then.
Yeah.
But, it's been terrific, and we've been getting a lot of visitors, which has been really, really terrific.
Yeah. Hope we're getting this rain over your way. Our way, too, as far as that goes. Well, we need it.
Yeah. We made a very interesting arrangement with the National Racing Hall of Fame and Museum up at Saratoga. With their cooperation, we're going to become the official farm cemetery for Hall of Fame horses.
That's really neat.
Yeah. There's a woman named Charlotte Farmer out in California who got to be friends with Kit Collins. And Kit Collins is a great-great-grandson of Charles Howard. Mm-hmm. Of Seabiscuit fame. And Charles Howard had another amazing horse named Noor, who's in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And I think Noor ended up beating Citation maybe twice. He beat Hill Prince three times.
Set new world record, too.
Yeah.
Of course, he caught Citation. Citation had been off a year, And
he still set the world record. But anyway, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Let's denigrate the poor guy. He's dead. Come on, be nice.
I don't want you. I can't let you say that he beat Citation three times without explaining to you.
Well, I only said he beat him twice. I didn't count the one where Citation had a year off.
Well, you were inaccurate on both occasions. He did not come back like he had been as a 3-year-old. He just wasn't the same horse.
Yeah.
Only reason that he came back and raced at all at five was because Warren Wright wanted him to be the first millionaire, and he brought him back, and he got it done.
Yeah.
A lot of second money out there, too, but he ended up winning stakes, too. But
He did.
Went to California.
And he beat two Triple Crown winners.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But Noor was, I remember him real well. When he first went to stud, he was over at Coldstream, and then they sold that, and he moved up to the farm right on the corner, and I never can remember the name of the damn thing, Shadyside, Ryder, you know where the church is, right on the corner of Mount Hoyle Road, that little church?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right across the street there with Shadyside. And he knew he went to stud there.
Wow.
It was instrumental. It was his, Newer's performances in his country that inspired Bull Hancock to go get Nashua.
Nice.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, but no, he was a great horse.
I can't wait to get... Well, in any case, Charlotte Farmer and Mr. Collins have worked it out so that he'll be disinterred sometime in August and come to Old Friends the end of August and be buried. He'll be the first one buried in the Hall of Fame Cemetery.
That's good.
And we're working with some people with the Drystone Conservancy to build a wall and do some nice things.
Yeah. Well, you got quite a little cemetery out there now. You know, a bunch of names in there that people know.
It's amazing.
But if you get those kind of horses, I mean, you know, that kind of graveyard. People come off from all over the world to go to Calumet to just see the graveyard.
Absolutely, and for good reason. Yeah, it's amazing. You go into the graveyard there, the graveyard at Claiborne, all these graveyards in Gainesway. I mean, just amazing.
There's horses scattered around here that regret is equipoise is, you know, his horse is buried right across the road here.
Yeah, it's amazing.
As far as that goes. Yeah. Why don't you try to get them?
I will. We're open for business.
You know he will.
I think Doug says, oh, good, I'm glad he's only getting dead horses now.
Yeah, you're right.
We had not too much room for the live ones. We had a lot of room for the dead ones.
Well,
but that's really great. And, you know, the last person to ride Newer when he went into retirement?
Who was that?
Before John Shiras.
Okay. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't know he rode races.
No, he didn't ride him in a race. He just rode him in retirement. He took care of him at the stud barn.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. And he exercised him at the farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's neat. Well, I'm sure he'll come here.
Yeah, I think he will, too. I think that'll be great. And I think it's really nice that the Hall of Fame is recognizing the need for this and that they're helping with this. So.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Well, what are you going to do now?
Well, let's see. A week from Monday, we're having our big fundraiser at Wines on Vine.
Yeah, I meant to bring that up.
That'll be good.
Yeah. An old-time trainer runs that, old Bert Kessinger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've met Bert out here. He had some horses out
here.
It's
not that old-time. I mean...
Well, it's been 10, 11 years since I met him, I think it
was. He trained Stage Colony, who we had at the farm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What did he win now?
He was a grade one winner, but I'm trying to remember now the big race he won.
Ask Bert.
Bert will remember. The interesting thing about him is that the Houdons had a big offer to send him to South Africa with Gary Player.
Oh, really?
And they decided to retire him instead because he's a little older and everything else. So we're really grateful to get
him. Well, tell him what he's doing now. He's what Bert's doing.
Bert runs Wines on Vine, and every year he has a fundraiser. And this year it's going to be on a week from Monday. And it's going to benefit Old Friends, the Disabled Jockey Fund, and the Don McBeth Fund.
Uh-huh. When does this go? A week from Wednesday? What time?
A week from Monday. 5:30 it starts. 5:30 the gates open. It's $10 admission, and there's all these fabulous wines and beers that you can taste.
Yeah, you can go in there and drink all you want.
5:30 to 8 o'clock for $10.
Go in there and guzzle.
At today's rate, you can't even be homeless at that price.
And he's got beers, too. I knew he had wines.
Yeah, 18 different beers.
18 different? Mm-hmm. I didn't know they make it.
Hey, I got some beer up in Saratoga. I'm going to have to bring you a bottle, because now that your palate's improved, you can probably appreciate the difference in the kinds of beers I'm going to bring you. They're fabulous.
I'm still drinking Wiedemann. I think that's what it is.
The ones that's $4.50 a case?
Yeah. Yeah. How'd you know?
Dr. Byers calls it watery foam.
Now, I'm trying to picture in my mind exactly where the shop is, where Wines on Vine is.
Well, it's on Vine.
Well, I got you, but you know, let me tell you something. That's a pretty long street.
Huh?
That's a pretty long street.
I think I have the address.
Veer off to the right.
I think I have the precise address.
Do you know where it is, Sean?
Veer off to the right.
Veer off to the right.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Used to be up there where Taylor Tires used to be. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
And I also should mention that our bush hog broke, so if anybody's got a bush hog for sale, call us. We need a bush hog. We got a new tractor.
Do you have
a brand new tractor?
And now you're hustling a bush hog.
Yeah.
Go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Any particular size your little heart desires?
Well, 10 feet would be nice, but we'll take shorter.
Okay.
8 foot would be okay.
Yeah. Well, and nothing
they
smaller.
Can either donate it or, you know, we even have a little money and we can make an arrangements.
Oh, if somebody's not using one or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's very good. Yeah. You can come over and mow my place.
Do you have bush hog?
Yeah, I do, but it's a little one.
Okay, well.
And it's old. I bought it back in 1982, I believe it was.
Oh, it still works. That's fabulous.
You ought to see the tractor that pulled it. Isn't it?
Oh, wow.
It's a class of 57.
Holy mackerel. Well, we just bought a brand new John Deere.
Yeah, I understand.
Yep. Yeah. It's going good.
Did you buy it?
Yes.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was somebody else's money, I'm sure.
Well, we got the NTRA discount. We didn't have to pay sales tax. You know, the Bevins people were really nice. Andrew Cecil was fabulous to help us out. And so I think we got a lot of money off of it, and it's beautiful. I never thought I'd get this excited about getting a tractor.
Oh, well, I'd rather have a tractor than a car, but, you know, and that's they're more expensive. All right, I'm going to let you go and get Doc on.
Okay, good.
Doc's over here. He's starting to weave a little bit.
He says, I didn't know post time was going to be delayed this long.
Yeah, well, you can help me do a Ralph Quillen, though. Take care of that in just a second.
Great.
Jackie's not here, so, well, if you have a late foaling mare and you're looking for a young well-bred stallion with a solid race record and a great pedigree, look no further than Mustafar. Mustafar broke his maiden as a two-year-old at Aqueduct, went on to win graded stakes at Belmont and graded stakes at Keeneland. In fact, he won a place in 9 graded stakes at major tracks, Belmont, Keeneland, Saratoga, Tampa Bay, Gulfstream, beating just a less than a length in grade 1 stakes down at Gulfstream, Arlington Park, Woodbine. He always gave his best, and his best was good enough for earnings of over $635,000. Mustafar is by Sire Sires and Bridle, out of a daughter of Leafard and champion Height of Fashion, the dam of 3 champions. The next dam is the great classic winner and foundation mare, High Clare. Now for the good news. Mustafar stud fee, $3,000 for a live foal. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes at Shadwell Farm. And for more information, see the website at shadwellfarm.com. All right, Quillen Tack, down in Paris, Kentucky. I need to stop in and see Ralph.
I haven't seen Ralph in quite some time.
Let me tell you where Quillen Tack is first. If you're coming in from the Lexington Parish Road, go straight into Paris. You go past the bypass. Actually, it's the 1-2-3rd light, and it's right there on your left, right across from Ken's New Market. You can't miss it. It's a fun place to go in. Nice people in there, too. It's a pleasure to go in there because everybody's so nice. And it's great to look around. They got a great gift shop in there in addition to Tack. And he's usually running some specials. He's been really good to Michael Bluen over here.
Fabulous.
And give a discount on halters. I guess he's still giving you a discount. Did he raise that
discount
up yet?
No.
He's still doing it.
Yeah. Shh. Don't give him any ideas.
Okay.
Now that we're buying tractors, I'm afraid he's scratching his head and going, wait a minute, he's buying tractors. I'm going to have to readjust this.
Yeah, right.
But he's got this special going on for Father's Day, too. If you order online between now and Monday, I guess it's Sunday, Father's Day?
Sunday's for you. Tomorrow's Father's Day.
So even if you're late, you can still go in on Monday and get this. So if you're late on Father's Day, if you forget it, you can come in on Monday.
Okay. Did you hear that, Ralph? your sales extended one day.
One day. But you get if you order a belt, nice Father's Day belt. I'm still wearing my Quillen belt with
I got mine holding my britches up, you know, as we speak.
They last so long, I want to put some other horses' names on it, and I can't because the belt's still in good operating condition.
There you go.
But he'll also throw in a really nice key tag with a.
I've got one of those too.
There you go.
Good old Ralph.
Yeah, Ralph's a great guy, and stop by and see him. He's a great conversationalist. He knows what he's doing. He'll give you a little tour of the place, and you can really see how this the artistry of the people that make these belts and all these great halters.
What's his website down there?
It's www.quillen.com. Easy enough. Q-U-I-L-L-I-N.
Okay. He sells lots of stuff online, worldwide. All righty. Well, every sire with foals of racing age at Windstar Farm, Bluegrass Cat, Distorted Humor, Sharp Humor, Spite Stand, Tis Now, has ranked number one on the sire list, one category or another. Next in line to have foals of racing age is Spring at Last. His first 3 yearlings this year. Spring at Last was bred over 200 mares his first 2 seasons at stud. He's got the numbers going for him. That's not all. He's a grade one stakes winner of over $1 million. He won grade one stakes in this country, went abroad to win grade two stakes. He was equally adept on dirt and turf, never defeated at a mile. As for pedigree, Spring at Last is one of 82 stakes winners by Silver Deputy. One of the most successful sons of champion sire Deputy Minister, his dam, a daughter of the leading sire, Dynaformer, produced three superior stakes winners. Grade one winner, Spring at Last. Grade one winner, Sharp Lisa. Grade two winner, Sharp Susan. It's a pedigree pack with superior graded stakes winners. So look for the Spring at Last yearlings at the upcoming sales. And for more information, get in touch with Robert Hammond at 873-3333 or check the website at windstarfarm.com. May have to interrupt you in the middle, Doc. All right, I've got Dr. Byers here with me now. And
I think the air's all been sucked out of the room so far. So
oh, is it? Yeah. It's been a lot of...
Steve and I.
Yeah. Yeah, but between Steve, me, and Michael, is you know... Steve's a talker, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like... Reminds me of Susan sometimes. She gets with a group and... it's over. It's over.
I'm trying to pin that accent down, and he's right. I couldn't. Could you? I thought he was being more Irish and.
Yeah, English by way of L.A. to Kentucky. That's quite a combo.
He didn't pick much up in L.A., I'll tell you that. You know, I mean, it's.
Well, they have a lot of accents in L.A. You can take your choice.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Some of them don't even speak English, you know, as far as that goes. What's going on, Doc?
Oh, not too much. I thought for a topic. We talk about a down horse or down horses.
Okay.
We would say recumbent.
Yeah.
Veterinarians would say recumbent.
Flatter and a flitter. Go ahead.
Yeah, we can't just use a simple word. So, and I thought maybe I'd have a few tricks of the trade as to what you're dealing with. But let's suppose you go out and you find your horse down in the stall or in the field. And so you know, the next approach is obviously you're going to call them. Veterinarian and you, or see if it can get up, but some of the reasons it could be down would be trauma, something that happened. Doesn't have to happen instantaneously. A lot of horses get hurt, sometimes trailer accidents, they pull on their neck and they'll go down later. Mm-hmm. And so that would be, you know, of course, if you can see the obvious reason, that's good, but you know, a lot of them you don't. You've got viral things like the herpes virus, which incidentally, the government threat of the herpes neurological syndrome got all those horses down throughout the country. I think 10 states involved. That's over. It's been declared done.
Good.
Done deal. And there's still people worrying about it, and there's still people promoting all kinds of products to take care of it. So the capitalists are... Well, in an advancing troop formation.
Isn't that a nice way to put it? Capitalist.
Yeah, right. Botulism. You know, you say you got a down horse. Well, we think about shaker foals, but you could have it happen in an adult. And those horses are just weak. They're bright and alert. Of course, we know about EPM. We know about wobblers. And the other thing that could happen, you find one down in the field, and Michael's had the experience with Easy Ellis, lightning strike. And of course, that one was down and not going to get up.
Yeah. Was he dead when you found him, Michael?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of them are capable of getting back up. And, you know, the most common thing for them is a stethoscope. Their heart rhythm is all fouled up because of the electrical insult that the heart muscle took. So. Anyway, how do you assess a down horse? Well, if he's lateral, out on his side, and can't move, so to speak, it's really tough to figure out what's
with
wrong.
With his head down, too.
Yeah. You know, you try to do somewhat of an exam, but you know that's just a tough one to do. Some of the things you can do, and of course, when you're around a down horse, the main thing is don't get hurt. You can look at their cranial nerves. Those are there's 12 nerves that control the head region, swallowing and ear droop and facial muscles and whether they can wink, things like that. So you'd want to figure that out. Now, if you can get him on his sternum, get him up on their chest, then it's a lot easier to look at those things because then when he's flat out, you're only going to see one side of the head. So it's almost impossible to get the amount of information that you really want to have. You can check the spinal reflexes and see if you can get them to twitch when you poke them with a pin on the side of the neck. Tail tone. Boxers and horses are not going to have normal tail tone. Very, very weak. So that
lift the tail.
Yep. And herpes horses will have weak tails. Mm-hmm. So they so a lot of their reflexes and sphincter tones are abnormal. Vestibular horses are what we call ear horses, or you think about an ear infection. Those horses, when they're down, if they're up, they always walk in a circle one way. You can't hardly pull them the other way. So when they're down, if they fall down on the affected side, they push themselves into the ground. So you're trying to get them up on their sternum, and it's almost impossible because they pull away from you. And they have normal strength. They're not like a botulism. They have normal strength. So if they panic or have some reason to get super active, they'll let those legs fly like crazy, and there's no loss in strength. So the trick to those horses is to, if you think that's what you got, you get a shank on the front and on the back leg, on the down leg, down on the pastern, and you turn them over. And then a lot of times they can get up on one side but not on the other. You have to be careful again. Those legs go flying. Some of them get up and they'll flip themselves right back down, kind of like a dog with an ear infection up on a table. He keeps flipping. So, but then you know at least what you're going to be dealing with. Sternal is great if you're going to try and help them up. Horses are the opposite of cows. Cows get up with the back end. Horses get up with the front end. So they'll dog sit as the normal way that they get up. So you have to get the front legs out in front of them. You put a shank on the halter, but you don't tug on that halter because they need their head to get the momentum to get up. Mm-hmm. And then, because they got a big crane to deal with that the cow doesn't have to deal with. You can get somebody on the tail and just hand on the tail out in the field area. You can tell the horse wants to get up. Sometimes you can tail them up. Just get some support to get them up there. But that you steady the head, but don't take it away from them. And, again, get their front legs out in front of them. And some of these horses will kind of dog sit, and then you can help them up. So in a botulism, it might be a good example of that, where they're rested, they've been on the ground, they went down, and you can assist them and get them up. Now, a botulism won't stay up too long if he's been down. He'll start shaking just like a shaker foal. The muscles will begin to tremble. We call that fasciculation.
So that's what I call it.
Yeah. So, again, we've got those big, big words.
I think that won the National Spelling Bee last year.
I bet you did. I bet you could.
And it's very tricky. So then when you get to the desperation part of it, you say, well, we need to get him where we can sling him. And the point about slings is probably 60% of the horses will benefit from a sling. 40% of them won't tolerate a sling, or they'll just slump in it. And if they slump in it, they can't breathe because it compresses them. There are specialized slings that help them to be more comfortable, but they're not a whole lot of them, and they're expensive and they're hard to get to, and all these other things. Getting a sling on a horse is not easy. You got to get it on one side and then flip him over again to get the other side strapped around him and get the legs through there and get the butt strap on and then raise them up. Sometimes they'll dog sit in a sling. So you'll put a tail rope on them, and you'll get a little hoist on the tail and help them. A lot of horses will benefit from a sling and be in a sling for a long time, a month or more.
Swaps.
Others won't tolerate
your hoofs. Swaps.
Others will slump, and of course, those horses we're talking about were orthopedic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and neurologic, it's tough to get them to get enough time to get better.
Yeah.
But if they do slump and they get in there, a lot of times they'll quit. They'll just get where you can't hardly get them to make an effort to. You can lay them down, and you go to get them back up, and a lot of times they will quit on you. So it's just too much of an effort. And when that happens, then it's a no-brainer. The time to
got
to
go.
Call it a day.
Very good.
Then, of course, the other thing is, what are you going to do about it? Drug-wise, we've got Butbin. I mean, DMSO, which is steroids. All those are in the very early stages. After a while, there isn't much time, and hope they get better.
Very good.
Okay.
Very interesting, too.
Yeah, all right.
I'd like to know what happened to that horse that went down with Betsy, my daughter. You know, I mean, he just fainted. He just... Yeah. Walking them down, then down he went.
Well, and a horse that faints usually gets back up.
Stay the hell off of them.
Yeah. There are some causes of that. Syncope is the word that comes from the heart. If they have kind of a missed beats and they pass out, that's called syncope.
He got right back up.
Yeah, okay. And then there's also narcolepsy, which we've talked about before, where you fall asleep and collapse. And horses will do that. So you need to know what the reason is if you figure out what's going on.
Okay, Doc. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ursel.
All right.
If anybody does have a bush hog for sale or for donation, they can call the farm at 502-863-1775.
Ursel needs a new one, too, so call me first. Well, Notional and Indian Charlie have a lot in common. Both were graded stakes winners. They share the same sire. Both are out of mares from the Northern Dancer line. Indian Charlie has sired the winners of 4 Eclipse Awards, and he sired another highly promising 3-year-old stakes winner last weekend. Indian Charlie has been a sensation at stud, siring the winners of Eclipse Award winners for champion 2-year-old colt, champion 2-year-old filly, champion sprinter, champion older mare. Notional has given every indication that he will also be a success at stud. He was very well received in his first 2 seasons, and his first foals yearlings this year are outstanding. To keep the momentum going, and this is third year at stud, special breeding incentives are available, and it's never too late for another very good mare. So call Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Feld or Ned Toffee over at Spenthrift Farm, 294-0030. And as a reminder, Notional was a multiple graded stakes winner of over $733,000. Indian Charlie was one $616,000. Now, for more information, check the website at Spenthrift Farm.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Prisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
I want to talk about my good friend over at Equine Farm Management. Of course, that's Ron Wallace. And back in 1995, Ron started Equine Farm Management. And following some 15 years of management experience at Judmont Farm and Three Chimneys Farm, knows what he's doing. And what he does with Equine Farm Management is he helps the owner enjoy their horse farms. He set it up where it's practical, where it's convenient. He can come in and with a virgin land with nothing on it, design the horse farm, and it'd come out just the way you want it. He did that right up the road here from the Clocker Stand on the Parish Pike with the farm up there, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I admire it every time I drive by it. And he's done business with some very important people in the business besides the one I just talked about. That's called Hurricane Hills. He did the farm layout and the design, construction. You know, he can come, he can hire the people for you. He can manage the farm for you as long as you need him. And he's always on call to help you out. He's done a lot of farms, not only here in Kentucky, but all around. Let's see, I'm trying to think the one down in Florida. One of the biggest ones down in Florida he's doing business with right now. That's Live Oak Stud. And I see Paladese Investments up in New York and Redmond Road Farm over in Paris. And he's just, you know, he does really good work. His website is equinefarmmanagement.com. And let me give you his telephone number. Let me give you his cell number for Ron Wallace, 621-1655. And if you need some, if you're thinking about, say you're not happy with the way your farm is or you're thinking about buying one, he's the man to see. Do a great job for you. Ron Wallace, that's equinefarmmanagement.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere.
All righty. Let me see where I am. What I've got to do right now. I'm going to do something for Mr. Well, first of all, I didn't have a chance at the beginning of the show. The winners that came out of here since we talked last, there were horses that have won at trained here at the Thoroughbred Center. Oscar Medica, saddle the winner. So did Paul Brown. Jimmy Cargan won a real nice race up at Churchill Downs with I'm a Dixie Diva. Danny Burns, one he owns, one down at the Mountaineer. And last night, Marco Castaneda won one up at Indiana Downs with Jemaru, and Marco's wife, Bonnie, rode that one. So they didn't even have to pay a jocks fee. But I hope they own it. Anyway, so that's 20 winners so far this month from here and in the Thoroughbred Center. And let's see, speaking also of winners, and this compliments of my good friend David Schweitzer over at Thoroughbred Racing Association. These are the winners of stakes last week that were bred in Kentucky. The Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, of course. Rouleau on Ice was bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. The Grade 1 Just a Game Stakes at Belmont Park was won by C.S. Silk, bred by Hermitage Farm, down in Goshen, Kentucky. The Grade 1 Acorn, the classic Acorn, I should say. It's Tricky won that, bred by Stonerside Stables. The Grade 2 Woody Stevens at Belmont Park, Justin Phillip. He is from the first crop by First Samurai, who stands over at Claiborne Farm. And he's by Giants Causeway. And that horse, Justin Phillip, was bred by Oakbrook Farm. The Honeymoon Stakes at Hollywood Park went to Sarah's Secret, bred by Joan Hadley Thoroughbreds. The Obia Stakes, named after that good mare who was foaled up in Delaware. And a good, great race mare, Gray. Harvard de Gras won that. Yeah. I say Harvard de Gras, I hear him saying Harvard de Grace, but the old racetrack, everybody called it Harvard de Gras, so that's what I'm going to call it. And Nancy Dillman bred Harvard de Gras. The Grade 3 Early Times Minjulep Handicap at Churchill went to My Baby Baby, bred by E.H. Bow Lane III. The Grade 3 Poker Stakes, named after that good son of Round Table, who stood over at the Stallion Station. Seattle Sleuths out of a poker mare. The winner was Courageous Cat. That's a Belmont Stakes, anyway. The Courageous Cat, bred by Pam and Martin Wygod. The Willard Proctor Memorial was at Hollywood Park in Majestic City, won that, bred by Trackside Farm, Robin and Helen Evans. The Cinderella Stakes at Hollywood, Killer Graces, bred by Brian Kahn. The Unbridled Stakes at Calder went to Indiana. He's by Indian Charlie. That's 7 stakes winners this year for Indian Charlie. That one bred by the Diamond A Racing Corporation over in Woodford County. The Nonsuch Bay Stakes at Belmont went to Rose Catherine by Sprightstown, who stands over at Windstar Farm, champion sprinter. Very good set horse, too. Janivar Thoroughbreds bred that one. The Washington State Legislature's Handicap went to Summer's Peace, bred by D.C. Dash Goff. I wonder if he's related to Gene Goff, who was out of Arkansas. Had No Home the Second down there, bred, you know, oh well. The Alley Wild Stakes at Woodbine went to New Formal, bred by Robert S. Evans. So there we have that. And I think now it is time for to do something with our good friends at Vinery and Breeding to Race or Breeding to Sell. Vinery's state-of-the-art facilities in Kentucky, Florida, and New York can be of great assistance to you. The professional staffs at each facility will do their utmost to help you achieve your goals in the industry. That's Vinery's pledge to you. You're always welcome to inspect the stallions over at Vinery in Kentucky and down in Florida. Pomeroy's Pistol, a 3-0 filly by Pomeroy, who stands down at Vinery in Florida, won the Just Smashing Stakes at Monmouth last Saturday. And both last year's number one ranked juvenile sire, More Than Ready, and number one ranked freshman sire, Congrats, stand at Vinery in Kentucky. Vinery can provide the finest care available for breeding, for boarding, sales prep and sales, rehabilitation, breaking and training, and bloodstock services. Ask about Vinery's very successful racing partnerships also. Call John Gasper or Francis Rillingham or Grant Williamson or Steve Castanola, who was on the show with us earlier this morning, It was a fun interview. 455-9388 is the number over at Vinery, and check the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, Indiana, winner June 11 of the Unbridled Stakes at Calder, is yet another runner by Indian Charlie. In four career starts, Indiana has won the Unbridled and finished second in the Grade 2 Swale Stakes at Gulfstream. Bred by the Diamond A Racing Corporation, Indiana won the Unbridled under a hand ride, won by 4 1/4 lengths. Looks like a colt with a great future. His win comes on the heels of Roxy Gap's score in the $150,000 Fury Stakes up at Woodbine. And the victory of Adios Charlie in the Grade 2 Jerome at Belmont Park. And they're both three-year-olds, both by Indian Charlie. Of course, Indian Charlie has sired the winners of four Eclipse Awards. One for champion two-year-old filly, one for champion sprinter, one for champion two-year-old colt, and one for champion older female. So the next time you see an Indian Charlie walk into the sales ring, take a close look, because they've also walked into the winner's circle after many of the nation's most coveted stakes. Indian Charlie stands at Mr. and Mrs. Braird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdrestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty, well, we're starting the second hour, 5 minutes late. Story of my life. Of horse tales. Jackie's not here yet. She had to run home at the break, but she'll be back here in a few minutes, and she's going to do her announcements. So just sit still and hold your breath or whatever you're doing. I can do a little history. You know, I started to do the history of Bull Ruler, a three-year-old year, couple of weeks ago. And Mr. Dave, not Dave, but Shaq Parrish came in and... he had more important things for us to announce, and that was the 1, 2, 3 finishes in the English Derby. And I never did get to finish. I think I got him through the Preakness. Of course, Bull Ruler, foaled 54 by Nazrul out of Miss Disco by Discovery. Bred by the Wheatley Stables, that was Miss Henry Carnegie Phipps. Good-looking horse, looked like a cup horse. Had some unsoundness problems, but it was out of a top race mare, named Miss Disco, and she won four stakes and started 54 times, won the Interbur, won the test. And he had two full brothers, Loser Weeper. They ran 63 times and thwarted that started 116 times. The second dam by Pompey won the Sagamore Stakes. So the pedigree was basically an outcross, although he was inbred to 5x5. You can call that inbreeding to Sundridge. Miss Disco produced two other stakes winners by Nazrul. And Nasco, he won the Saranac, and the top steeplechaser, Independence. And I think I got him up through the Preakness Stakes. I'll review it a little bit, his three-year-old season. And we'll forget the two-year-old stuff. Started off the year by winning the Bahamas in Florida. Equal to track record, 7 furlongs and 122 flat. Gave General Duke 12 pounds and beat him by 4 1/2 lengths. Went to the Everglades and he gave General Duke 12 pounds that day and got beat. But he was just beaten just ahead. In the Flamingo at Hialeah at equal weights with General Duke... General Duke beat him ahead in 147, a new track record. Florida Derby, On March the 30th, General Duke ran a mile and eighth and 146-4, equaling the world record, and defeated Bull Ruler by a length and a half. That happened to be General Duke's last start, by the way. He eventually didn't live very long after that. And I think 3 or 4 months later, they had to put him down. Bull Ruler went up to the New York for the Wood, and he won by nose, beating Gallant Man, and set a new track record, 148-4. Went to the Derby. They tried to rate him in the Derby. Arcaro was up. He wouldn't rate that day. Not only that, Federal Hill carried him wide on the turn, first turn. And when that happened, Arcaro took back, and when they straightened out, he didn't have anything left. Ran fourth to Iron Leeds, Gallant Man, and Round Table. In the Preakness, in the prep for the Preakness, he turned in a bad race, but he won over 2 nondescript rivals. But consequently, he went off at second choice in the Preakness Stakes. The favorite was Iron Leeds, and Bull Ruler went off at 7-5 and led all the way and won by a couple of lengths. He was a favorite for the Belmont Stakes. John Nerode, who was training Gallant Man, sent a rabbit in, a horse named Bull Nero, and to force the early pass, of course, that's what rabbits do, and it worked. Bull Ruler faded to third, got beat 12 lengths by Gallant Man. Inside track ran third. There's a new track record for a mile and a half, 226-3. That record stood until Citation beat it in 1973. Bull Ruler didn't start again until up in September at Belmont in an overnight handicap, and he won, beating Greek Game, colt that raced for Fred Hooper. Egotistic ran third. 5 days later, he won the Jerome under 130 by six, beating Bureaucracy, under who he was in, with 113. On September the 29th, in the Woodward, going a mile and a quarter, he ran third to Dedicate, son of, I think Dedicate was by Prince Quillo. Gallant Man was second. He got beat 3.5 lengths. That was a weight-for-age race. And then he finished out the year unbeaten. Bull Ruler won the Vosburgh by 9 under 130 pounds, beating Tick Tock, who I'm pretty sure was by Double J, who was in with 117. Went 7/8 and 121-2. Broke Rose Bend's track record, which had stood for 51 years. And Rose Bend, one of the all-time weight carriers and sprinters, great racehorse. Bull Ruler won the Queens County, carrying 133 pounds, beating Promised Land, giving him 22 pounds, and Greek Spy. He was in with 114. Can't do the math in my head. He won the Benjamin Franklin handicap at Garden State by 12 under 136. Then he ended the season by winning the mile and a quarter Trenton handicap by 2.5 lengths. Opened up a lead of eight lengths in the first quarter. And then he was in with 122 pounds, Gallant Man 124, Round Table 126. And that win, especially the loss, the fact that he beat Gallant Man, gave him the Champion 3 role and Horse of the Year title. 16 starts that year. He had 11 wins, 2 seconds and 2 thirds. And, of course, everybody knows what he did at stud. He topped the sire list 8 times. Sons of his went to stud, Secretariat, who was actually a better broodmare sire than Bull Ruler, in the opinion of many. What a Pleasure, who was a leading sire. Roger Baba, who led the sire, 2-year-old sire list a couple of times. Bull Nesian, who ended up being the grandsire of Saddle Slough. Bull Bitter, sired Spectacular Bid. Bull Bitter stood right over here at Gainesway Farm. Bull Lad over in Ireland, who did very well over there. Reviewer was the sire of Ruffian. Irish Castle stood over at the Stallion Station on Russell Cave Road. Sired Bull Forbes, who, of course, won the Derby and the Belmont. Bull Commander, who sired a Derby winner. Dust Commander, that my good friend Don Combs trained. Sired a real good horse in Dewan, who was stood over at the old Domino Stud. Used to be part of Dixiana, now it's Dixiana again. And Dewan was a very good stud. Jimmy Drammond syndicated Dewan. He also had syndicated Al Tab, and Grey Dawn. Three very good sires. Grey Dawn was a leading sire. And so Jimmy had sent, I think he syndicated those within a couple of years of each other. He was, Jimmy was a good horseman. Let's see, Chieftain was also by Bull Ruler, and did very well at stud, and so did Jacinto, who stood down at Claiborne Farm. Well, last Saturday at Belmont Park, the Grade II $250,000 Woody Stevens Stakes was won by Justin Phillip, a 3-year colt in the first crop by First Samurai. It was no contest. Justin Phillip opened a lead of 5 lengths, then coasted to a 3 1/4 length score over Graded Stakes winner J.J.'s Lucky Train, bred by Oakbrook Farm, and sold at Keeneland in September for $400,000. Justin Phillip went into the Woody Stevens off placings in the Grade II Jerome and a Grade III Bay Shore. He is one of 4 stakes winners. 6 stakes horses from the first crop of First Samurai. Let Me Go won the Grade III Schuylerville at Saratoga last year. Let me get this. Last year. And Swift Warrior won the Rushaway at Turfway and is placed in the Foolish Pleasure Stakes both at in the Tropical Park Derby, both down at Calder. And Trubbs won the Black Gold Stakes at the Fairgrounds. So First Samurai won the Grade I Champagne, the Grade I Hopeful, the Grade II Fountain of Youth, and earned over $915,000. He's by champion sire Giants Causeway. Stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams. See the website at claibornefarm.com. Well, the first foal is by Henry the Navigator and Majestic Warrior, yearlings this year. You'll see them at the upcoming sales. Both of are licensed to sire runners, and both have been well received at stud. Henry the Navigator was a dual classic winner and brilliant miler. Won the classic Grade I 2,000 guineas in England, defeating European champion New Approach and future Breeders' Cup Classic winner Raven's Pass. He defeated New Approach again in the classic 2,000 guineas, ran in record time to whip Raven's Pass in the Grade I St. James Palace Stakes, beat him again in the Grade I 1-mile Sussex Stakes. He also won Group 2 Stakes at 2, ran second in the Breeders' Cup Classic in his only start on synthetic, and he's the son of King Mambo out of the champion Sequoia. She's by Sadler's Wells. Majestic Warrior is the only 3-year-old by AP Indy to win Grade 1 Stakes under a mile. Accomplished as only 2-year-old, I should say, by AP Indy to win Grade 1 Stakes under a mile, accomplishing that feat in the Grade 1 Hopeful. In addition to being a son of sire of sires AP Indy, Majestic Warrior is out of the multiple Grade 1 Stakes winner and millionaire Dream Supreme by Seeking the Goal. Second Dam, Spinning Around, also won Grade 1 Stakes, so it's a great family. Henry the Navigator, he had great mares bred to him in that first two seasons. And Majestic Warrior, standing cool Moore's Ashford Stud, home of the nation's number one ranked sire for the past 2 years. Leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coolmore. All righty. We is back. And let's see what am I going to do now. Where's my book? Would you hand me that book over there, Sean? Under the... I want a little change of pace. I'm going to just read something out of... from Joe Palmer. It's either that or talk about Gallant Man. And I'm... I think I'll read a Palmer. I've got some notes on Gallant. Thank you. Thank you. I got one here that... just open the book and see what falls out. And here's an article written. Of course, he wrote most of this stuff back in the 40s. It's called Atkinson, R. Carroll, and Point South. It was from one of his, Joe Palmer's, columns. Theodore F. Atkinson, an imported article from Toronto, Canada, had written 33 winners in his first 20 days of the Hialeah season. While hardly predictable, this was not a matter for surprise. T. Atkinson will ride 7 horses a day when he cannot get 8, and he will ride them with industry and application. He does not have the color, say, of Arcaro, nor the distinctive style of McCreary, who was evidently brought up on stores of Snapper Garrison. But he is in there trying every yard, and while he cannot come in ahead of the horse, he can be dependent upon to get as much out of his mounts as heredity and the trainer put in. Once I knew a man who built up a considerable sum of money by playing Atkinson in the last race because of while most of the better riders skip the final race or ride it like a chore, Master Theodore rides it like it was the Kentucky Derby. It should be added, however, that the man who had the money doesn't have it now because he stuck to his system. It may be added also that any system of betting on jockeys is ill-advised, though not as bad as it used to be, now that relief payments are so much higher. The riding style of Eddie R. Carroll has ameliorated considerably in recent years, but it was originally modeled on Bronco Nagurski. That got him a great deal of exercise, walking on the ground. And he has about abandoned it, but even at his peak, R. Carroll, who was born in Cincinnati, but quickly realized his mistake and moved across the river, seldom hung an opponent on the fence without the justification that either he wanted to win or the guard had done something to him yesterday. One of my brighter recollections of the Arcaro technique came at Keeneland some 8 years back. Eddie was in front, but with a dying horse, passing the eighth pole. In the last 16th, something came past him in an obviously victorious surge. As the wind went by, he came over and put Arcaro on a rail. The rider was standing in the stirrups, hunched over the horse's neck, and he presented Senor Eduardo a large, rounded expanse of white whipcord. R. Carroll seen his duty, and he done it. He waited until the offender was about a foot ahead of him, and then quit riding entirely, raised his bat, and took a full swing. The other rider came back to the winner's circle, but he had tears in his eyes, and one of the jockeys who saw him take his shower said he had a whelp 2 feet long. Eddie went up to see the stewards and came back $50 poor. His defense, such as it was unimpeachable. If it had been a tight finish, I wouldn't have minded, he said. But he was going to beat me by 2 lengths anyway. He didn't need to do it. The stewards agreed in their hearts, but they said it was right in front of the grandstand. The regulation also comes of an aging rider at Minor Track in western Kentucky. He was a small, wrinkled man with a cheerful mien and a voice which sounded like a foghorn blown in a subway. He was not getting many winners, and he decided one day that it was because the younger riders were pushing him around, jamming him on terms and otherwise operating to the detriment of a man who hoped to get home with 2 legs and an unbroken neck. His first step to correct this condition was to purchase a bottle of Kentucky's finest and conceal it from the vulgar gaze in a riding boot outside the scales. Before every race, he would reach into the boot, pull out the bottle, and take a slug, and then hop on the scales. Afterward, he would turn and beam on the waiting jockeys behind him. "All right, you little boys," he'd say. "It's everybody for himself now. Everybody do the best he can." Nobody got near him all afternoon, and he won 4 races. Then there was, still is, in fact, a round jockey named George South, who had done most of his riding in the Midwest. He turned into the stretch one day with a horse on each side of him. The two attempted to give him the business, closing in to squeeze him out. George acted with commendable promptness. He dropped his reins entirely, reached out both arms, and shoved the two horses simultaneously. A 110-pound jockey can't throw a 1,000-pound horse very far, but Georgie caught them at the top of their stride with all 4 feet off the ground. One bounced off the rail, and the other went halfway to the outside fence. South picked up his reins and started riding, and eventually won nicely. Some objection was made to the stewards, but they saw it from South's angle. "What'd you want him to do?" they said. "George is too fat to be squeezed like that." "All righty. What's going on over there, kids? We having some problems?"
When we first started the show, it was pretty good. Now it's all fuzzy. I don't know.
Now it's all fuzzy? The show's all fuzzy? Well, I'm fuzzy. Maybe it's me.
Maybe it's you. Maybe it's Mike out. I don't know.
I have no idea. You want to start your announcements, though, Jackie?
Sure. I'll be glad to.
Okay. Did you find anything, Sean?
Did you do those things from the KTA?
Yeah, I did them.
Oh, you know what I want to talk about first?
Okay.
My favorite restaurant, the Tulip Bistro and Bar.
Yeah.
That's the old Black Tulip from over in Midway, and it's been moved over to Romney Road. And same great chef, Spencer Vandendoel. And, of course, this restaurant was featured in the Lane Report. It's over on 355 Romney Road. It's a transplant. It's from the Black Tulip to the Tulip. It's French-American cuisine. It's 355 Romney Road. It's down near Suggins, and they have a patio. You can sit outside. It's terrific. Give them a call. The food's wonderful. I really have to say that. they kind of specialize in seafood. They have Chesapeake Bay oysters on the half shell, Rockefeller fried oysters, all kind of stuff. It's just wonderful. Let me give you their phone number. It's 367-6687. That's 367-6687. Okay. Now, let me go to some announcements. Thoroughbred Farm Manager's 19th Annual Challenge Cup Golf Scramble is Monday, June 27th. It will be at the University Club Golf Course. Participants from previous years that know how much fun it is. It's just a great time. It helps the KEMI, that's Kentucky Equine Management Internship Program, and the TRF, that's Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. So you can be a corporate team sponsor or a whole sponsor in this year's Golf Scramble. If you want to get a hold of somebody, go to the website, Kentucky Thoroughbred. Well, best thing to do is Google Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Clubs. Oh, I got to say something about my friend Terry Tubbs. We had a disaster at her house last night about, what was it, 9 or 9:30, getting ready to go to bed, and the hot water heater sprung a leak. So I didn't know what to do. So we didn't know what to do. So I called Terry, and he was trying to tell me how to tighten. Well, first I turned off the electricity to it because it was coming up and dribbling out of the where the electric stuff was. So anyway, I turned that off. Then I called Terry, and he said, well, Miss Jackie, get a wrench and, you know, try to turn it, because couldn't turn it by hand. It's one of those twist things. So I started turning. Which way are you turning it? Well, it's hard to tell because it depends on where you're standing. So anyway, he said, well, try it this way. Well, that didn't work. So he said, try it the other way. And honest to goodness, just like in one of those movies, it squirted right in my face. So he said, hold on, I'll be over. So he came over to fix it. I got to thank him publicly because otherwise it was going to be a tsunami coming at us out of there. So anyway, let's see. Oh, news of interest from the KTA, KTOB. Craig Fravel, I get, or Fravel, I don't know how he pronounces it, F-R-A-V-E-L, has been named Breeders' Cup President and CEO of the Breeders' Cup. So he's going to take over July 18th. And they think they're going to get slots at Arlington Park. They don't know. But you know, Chicago, they're getting ready to open up casinos on every other corner. The fix is in, or however you say it, the mob is in charge. So anyway, whoa, there you are. Well, it's Chicago. What do you think? Anyway, Churchill Downs is going to raise purses again, 15% jump for the final 3 weeks.
Yeah, they're having a great meet. Well, take a close look at the pedigree of First Defense. It's loaded with classic stamina, and while he won stakes around two turns, he had brilliant speed. He won grade one stakes by sprinting 7 furlongs and won 21 and 2 to take the grade one 4 goal. That was his course at Saratoga. That was on the dirt. But he also ran 6 furlongs and 9 and 2 to win the grade three diaper stakes at Belmont Park on the grass. He sprinted 7 furlongs at Belmont and won 20 and 4. He don't run much faster than that. And won at the same distance at Churchill, won 22 and 1. He won the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Stakes around two turns at Monmouth, broke his maiden as a two-year-old by 8 1/4 lengths at Belmont Park. Now, First Defense was a unique, versatile runner with brilliant speed. He's one of a dozen Grade 1 winners by Top Sire Unbridled Song, and he's out of Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. Honest Lady is a half-sister to two successful sires, Belmont Stakes winner Empire Maker and Chester House. And he's out of the Grade 1 Stakes winning Broodmare of the Year, Toussaint. The first foals by First Defense are yearlings. Take a close look because they're by a young stallion with a license to sire runners. First Defense stands at Judmont Farm with a Grade 1 Stakes winner and Grade 1 sire Mizzen Mass, who's by Cozine. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
I want to talk about Biederman Auctioneers and Real Estate. And I noticed that Tom Biederman and his lovely wife, Lisa, were at the end of the year fox hunting party. I noticed that because I pay attention on Facebook and Lisa puts pictures up. Well, the hunt did, actually. And they had it down at Debbie Long's Dudley's upstairs on the roof. They got a new roof garden Isn't that interesting? A roof garden restaurant. Ain't going to work when it snows, but it works now, I suppose.
Oh, Tom does it all, doesn't he?
Tom does so much for so many people. He does a lot of auctioneering for charity and stuff like that, too.
He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy, and he's
great
a
guy to do business to. I mean, he really is.
Yeah, he really is. He's straight up, no messing around. You know, he's a good guy.
Best part is he gets the job done.
Gets it done. He has a place out near us, turnkey. That's how you say it. That's what it says, turnkey. So you can walk in. You don't have to fix anything. Got a great place over on Elizabeth Station, 50 acres, 730 Elizabeth Station. That's it.
Not many people know where Elizabeth Station is.
Okay. If you're going from Paris to Georgetown, and on the Paris side, Greenwich goes in and runs in eventually to Russell Cave, it's right there. It's a heck of a location. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're off 460, so you don't have traffic, but you're close enough. You can get to Paris, Georgetown, Lexington, anyway, real quick.
Yeah, his neighbor there is Dave Parrish on one side and Dr. Slovak on the other.
Yeah. I mean, how nice is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good place.
Have a great vet right next to you.
Yeah, there you go. Don't have to worry.
Winner of the Silver Star on the other side.
Holy cow. That's excellent. Didn't think of it that way. I'll tell you another one a little farther out. 3155 Keene Road. This is a gorgeous old classic house. It's white. It's, I don't know how to tell you how beautiful this is. 3,200 feet house, 25.3 acres. Listing price, $895. Now, that's pretty good. You know, that's excellent. So, anyway, it's a beauty. BiedermanBrokerage.com. Let me give you the phone number, and I'll give you the website again. 277-2030. It's Biederman, BIEDERMAN, Brokerage.com.
And another real close neighbor right there is Jim Fitzgerald, right up the road on 460 at... His place is not for sale. Well, I don't know. You know, Jim, he deals in...
The real... right price, boy.
Yeah, he's right. And he's got Nye Griffin Farm there. That's two farms he has, Harper's Island and Nye Griffin. But, you know, Jim, he's been in the business here for many, many years. Came up under some great horsemen, Dr. Michael Osmond, John Williams, Lee Eaton. And Nye Griffin Farm, I think he bought 17 years ago or something. It's established. And, of course, Jim is a nice guy, and he provides boarding or sales prep or private sales or public sales or rehab, you name it, and he could do it. He's got quality farm help, just like himself. He's a top horseman, and he's somebody you can trust. And he can give you some good, sound, common sense advice. Check his website. It's Not Griffin Farm, K-N-O-C-K-G-R-I-F-F-I-N Farm.com, and that's Jim Fitzgerald. All righty, Jackie, if you'll stop eating. What is that you're eating? A yogurt.
Yogurt with blueberries.
Oh, okay.
It's my snack. It's my snack that's legal on my diet.
Okay.
So.
She's lost so much weight now, you have to give her a cup of coffee to see her in the sunlight.
Oh, bless you. That's nice. Well, anyway, I got a little bit of news from the Kentucky Horse Council. It contributes to 4-H camp improvements. That's pretty nice. More than 8,800 4-Hers and 1,050 junior adults, I guess, attended camp in 2010. So that's a nice thing to do. They do a lot of horse stuff. Downs After Dark is coming back to Churchill Downs for the last three Fridays of the spring meet. Night racing will be held June 17th, 24th, and July 1st. Gates open at 4 o'clock. First race at 6. And woohoo! God knows what goes on in the infield. All right. Now, let me see what else... that's enough, unless you ride trails. Horse Park, upcoming events at the Horse Park. What is today? Today is the 18th. So, going on right now, not a lot. Next week.
Moving right along.
Well, they've had a professional horseman's course, but that's already started, and it's raining. What the heck? Next week will be the Bluegrass classic quarter horse show as opposed to the regular, I suppose. And at the same time, the Mid-South Pony Club Rally. And it begins the Ancient Bronzes of the Asian Grasslands exhibition. Also, June the 28th through the 3rd is Silverama Region 14 Arab Championship. Oh, here you go. June 29th, my birthday, is cross-country schooling day. That's one where you can actually go out to the horse park and ride. And ride all over the place. Pretend like you're somebody. That's a fun thing. Oh, this is kind of fun. I just thought I'd mention this because Woodford Hounds hunts at Shaker Village. They are having garden-side suppers at Shaker's Village. $85 for a supper. I'd say that was dinner.
That's enough to give you indigestion right there.
Anyway, it's a 6:30 appetizers and garden tour, 7 o'clock garden-side supper. Meet the farmers. Well, dang, I can go out here on the bypass. And, well, anyway, don't be nice. Three-course meal with three wines. All right. But anyway, it's fun. They sit under the trees and picnic tables and stuff. It's quite nice. It's July 9th and the 23rd, and then August 13th and the 27th. So you can get a hold of them by phone. It's an 800 number, 734-5611, extension 1545. It's a good place to go in the summer. We've been down there before in summer just to visit. Of course, they have trail rides. I'm going to give you last week's horse of the week for the Kentucky Equine Humane Center. It's a thoroughbred bay mare. She's 5. She's 15-1. And her name is Unraveled, and her head sticks way up in the air if you're an old saddlebred rider and like to see something in front of you. You know, I grew up on those things, and when I first got on a quarter horse, there was no head. Yeah. It was insane. What'd they do with this thing's head anyway?
Remember that little horse we had? He used to gallop with his nose about a foot off the ground like a coon hound on the
scent. Yeah. Marty Stigmeyer got on even said it was like driving one of those old Volkswagens. There wasn't any front.
Yeah.
Drove us nuts.
Yeah. When his first start for us.
Yeah. Okay. Kentucky Equine Humane Center, which is always looking for volunteers and stuff. I'm going to give you their phone number, 881-5849. Now, Dixieana's having Throwback Mondays. That means come join us at Dixieana. They're running their 16 two-year-olds. Go through their paces. There's the phrase. Every Monday at 10 o'clock through June 30th. They're two-year-olds, and check it out. It's a nice way to spend the morning. You could do worse. I don't know how the colostrum bank's doing. They were running low. They're always running low. So this is just a reminder.
Foaling season's about over.
Foaling season's about over, I would think. About everybody I know is finished. I don't know. Central Kentucky, Riding for Hope, wonderful bunch. They're always looking for quiet, nice horses. Large pony, small horse type, 14-2, 15-1, something mm-hmm. like that. If you've got anything, they have to be sound. The interesting reason why they have to be sound is they're trying to rehab people who are almost always injured on one side or another. And if the horse is going crooked, it isn't going to help the person who's going crooked. Mm-hmm. So they have to walk. They have to be in sync. So anyway, CKRH out at the horse park. They have a lovely new barn. They do a great job. And they're doing veterans out there now. I think the vets go on Friday.
Yeah, they want bigger horses for them too, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a wonderful bunch. And let's see, the American Saddle Horse Museum has still got that exhibit of saddlebreds and personalities from the silver screen, cinema, and history. Mm. My friend Flicka was a saddlebred. National Velvet was a saddlebred. That's the one that cracks me up. Win the Grand National with a saddlebred. Fury, of course. The most fun about watching horse
that movies. Elizabeth Taylor was a hell of a rider, though.
The funny part was in these horse movies is when they have a thoroughbred galloping by, and then it, what was it, the one The Black Stallion. Yeah. There goes this Arab, and then all of a sudden he's a thoroughbred, and then he's back to being an Arab. It was cute. Anyway, if you want some more information about seeing that, I'd like to go see it before it closes. 259-2746.
Can you interrupt your second, love?
All right.
All right. If you have a late foaling mare and you're looking for a young, well-bred stallion with a solid race record and a great pedigree, well, look no further than Mustafar. But Mustafar broke his maiden as a two-year-old at Aqueduct, went on to win graded stakes at Belmont and Keeneland. In fact, he won a place in 9 graded stakes at major tracks. Belmont, Keeneland, Saratoga, Tampa Bay, Gulfstream. He was beaten less than a length in grade 1 stakes at Gulfstream, Arlington Park, Woodbine. He also gave his best, and his best was good enough for earnings of over $635,000. Mustafar is by sire of sires Unbridled, out of a daughter Leafard and champion Height of Fashion, the dam of 3 champions. The next dam is the great classic winner and foundation mare, High Claire. Now for the good news. Mustafar stud fee, just $3,000 for a live foal. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes at Shadwell Farm. And for more information, see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at prisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Sired 101 stakes winner. He's the leading sire of 2011 stakes winners with a dozen. His most recent stakes winner is, oh, Lord, have mercy, look at this.
This is great.
Red Heart Nafarage.
You know what I think?
What do you think?
I think that's a phonetic spelling of a Gaelic word that probably says, I just made a fool out of myself.
Well, this one didn't, because on June 11th, won the Grade 3 Ballyoaken Stakes in Great Britain. Distorted Humor's been the number one sire of stakes winners before. Ranked second on a 2010 general sire list for Money One. Is ranked among the top 14 leading sires 7 times. He's right up there, right at the top again. Sharp Humor, a graded stakes winner by Distorted Humor, is well on his way to success at stud. He was the number one ranked Kentucky-based sire of 2-year-old winners last year with 25. And he's the number one ranked second crop sire of stakes horses with 11, 5 of them stakes winners. The other Windstar sires with foals of racing age, Bluegrass Cat, Spitestown, Tis Now, have also ranked first on the sire list in one category or another. So this bodes well for the young Windstar stallions, Colonel John, a grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,779,000 by Tis Now, Hold Me Back, a multiple graded stakes winner of over $872,000 by Giant's Causeway, Spring at Last, a grade 1 stakes winner, Millionaire by Silver Deputy, Super Saver, one of 2 winners of the Kentucky Derby, sired by Maria's Mon, and winner of over $1,889,000. So for more information about the Windstar Stallions, just call Robin Hammond at 873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Right, Jackie, I think we are back.
Okay. Windstar Farm has some kind of online club called WindstarStableMates.com. And if you log on there, they have contests and things and games, and you can watch on their farm cameras, which is kind of a fun thing. And of course, they do a great job at Windstar Farm. This is a kind of a fun thing. I got on one day just for fun, and it is interesting. So that's WindstarFarmStableMates.com. Okay, if your horse needs a new career, your racehorse, call. This is for you people here. They'll list it for you. They're not going to come pick up these horses at the racetracks. They will list your horse online, and you sell them for a maximum of $5,000. These are horses that are through or slow or whatever. So
you said they, but you didn't mention the name.
CantorUSA.org. Okay. I'm sorry. Read my mind. See how that
I'm coming up blank.
That's probably right. Anyway, and if you want to look at one, if you're interested in another horse, it's www.canterusa.org. And speaking of cameras and stuff, Sean Dameron's back today. He made it. He's been at Lowe's in Owensboro installing Dameron cams.
Fiber optic cables.
Fiber cams.
Whatever.
Cable cams. Whatever. If you want to get a hold of him for that kind of work, or do you want to put those cameras on your farm, his number's 230-6449, and or you can go on DameronCams.com. Now,
If you text him, he'll answer you right away.
Are you sure?
How about that, sure? Sean?
He's giving a funny-looking smile over here, so we don't know. Anyway, the hunt box. This is my friend Peggy Maness. She's a photographer at Midway. Wonderful photographer. Right downtown Midway, and she has what she calls the hunt box, which is kind of a consignment or odd sort of... It's not a full-line hunt, tack, and clothing store, but she picks up stuff and sells it from there. And I noticed online she had a bunch of cute boots and stuff the other day. So let me give you your phone number at Maness Photography. It's 846, because it's Midway, easy to remember, 9343. Or log on, mannessphotography.com. And listen, Peggy, we got to get together for our joint birthdays coming up soon. Ursel and I and Jim, her husband, celebrate our birthdays within, what, half a year? I don't know what it is. It's a month.
Within a year.
Within a year, yeah. And we got to get together. We always go out for supper. That's fine.
No, I think mine was the earliest.
Yeah. And then Jim and then me. So yeah. We got to get that cracking so we can do that. Okay, we're out here at Thoroughbred Center. Best place to train horses you ever saw. Primarily because it's got the best track man. We shouldn't spread that around. They're liable to stealing.
There was a really nice article in the Thoroughbred Times this week about the Thoroughbred Center. If you haven't picked up your copy yet.
I haven't read it yet. I need to get it. It's at home, isn't it?
Yeah, it's at home.
Yeah, good.
And it was really good. Really good. Winners, let me announce the winners from here. Since we talked last Saturday, Oscar Modica, Paul Brown, Jimmy Cargan, Danny Burns, and Marco Castaneda have all saddle winners. Marco's won last night, and his wife, Bonnie, rode it. So they got all the money. We've had 20 winners so far this month from the Thoroughbred Center. And I don't know if we're going to catch up with another last month or not. We had ended up with 52, and that was very good. That's the all-time record. I think 56 one month last summer. We had 56 winners come out of here, including a couple of stakes winners. I know Eduardo Caramore sent one up to win stakes in New York. Won the Manhattan, I believe it was. Well, Notional and Indian Charlie, they've got a lot in common. Both were graded stakes winners. They share the same sire, and both are out of mares from the Northern Dancer line. Indian Charlie, who sired the winners of 4 Eclipse Awards, and he sired another highly promising 3-year-old stakes winner last weekend. Indian Charlie has been a sensation at stud. Those 4 Eclipse Award winners earned him for champion 2-year-old colt, champion 2-year-old filly, champion sprinter, and champion older mare. Notional is giving every indication that he'll be a success at stud. He was very well received in his first 2 seasons at stud, and his first foals, which are yearlings this year, are outstanding individuals. To keep the momentum going, and this is 3rd year at stud, you know, that's always a tough year. People want to wait and see. Well, special breeding incentives are available, and it's never too late for another good mare. So give Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Feld or Ned Toffey a call over at Spendthrift Farm. Number over there is 294-0030. And as a reminder, Notional was a multiple graded stakes winner of over $733,000. Indian Charlie won $616,000. So he did a little bit better than Charlie. For more information, check the website at Spendthrift Farm.
www.thebirdcounty.com. Righty. Oh, here we go. We've got some rejoin music there. Did I wake you up down there, Mary Jane? I'm sorry. I apologize. Let's see. Have I got time? I've got about 8 or 9 minutes, and I think I can run through Gallant Man real quick. We've been reviewing 3-year-olds in 1957, a great crop. He and Roundtable were rated 1 pound below Bull Ruler on the free handicap that year. Gallant Man, Bull Ruler is 130, Gallant Man and Roundtable at 129. He was a bay foal, of course, in 1954 by Magoli, a son of Bois Roussel, out of Majata by Mahmoud, bred by the Aga Khan. Ralph Lowe, who was from Texas, owned him, and Johnny Nehru trained him. Magoli, the sire of Gallant Man, had won the Arc Triomphe, and he was by the 1938 English Derby winner Bois Roussel. Bois Roussel was the last foal out of the great producer Plucky Lees, and of course, he was her 12th foal. And the earlier foals, of course, included Bulldog and Sir Galahad III. Majata, the dam of Gallant Man, won the Irish Oak. She won the Irish 2,000 guineas, so she was a very nice race mare. Now, Gallant Man was a part of a group of horses that were purchased by Ralph Lowe back in 1955. Humphrey Finney arranged the sale and encouraged Lowe to buy him in spite of the fact that the vets had turned him down because he was small and he had bad feet. But they bought him anyway. For the 10, they paid $250,000. The 10 of them in a group. So that's at $25,000 apiece. As a 2-year-old, Gallant Man won 3 of his 7 starts, broke his maiden in his 3rd start at Hollywood Park, and later won at Belmont Park and at the old Tropical Park. At a 3-year-old, he won his first start of the year, going 6 furlongs and 109 and 2 at Tropical Park, at equal to track record. 2nd start, he won the Hibiscus Stakes at Hialeah, beating Missile, son of, I shouldn't have said it. Oh, War Relic, and King Heron, who was by Heron, going 6 furlongs. On January the 30th, he ran 4th in the Bahamas to Bull Ruler, General Duke, and Federal Hill. Sent him up to New York, and he ran 4th in the Swift Stakes, beaten by King Heron, Missile, and Clem. Clem, son of Shannon II, who turned out to be a very good racehorse, beat Roundtable on the grass later on, and he was by, as I think I said, he was by Shannon II. On April the 20th, Gallant Man ran 2nd in the Wood Memorial, got beaten a nose by Bull Ruler, sent him to the Derby, and of course that was a famous Derby where Shoemaker had misjudged the finish line, stood up at the 16th pole. Whether that got him beat or not, he was beaten a nose by Iron Liege. Roundtable ran 3rd, and Bull Ruler had finished 4th. June 1, he won the Peter Pan by 2.5 lengths over Promised Land, who raced for Bieber Jacobs. 2 weeks later, he skipped the Preakness, but it, which was won by Bull Ruler, of course, and he won the Belmont Stakes by 8 lengths. Over inside track, and Bull Ruler in 2:26.3 set a new track and new American records, which stood up until Secretariat shattered it in 1973. In that race, Nehru'd sent a rabbit to push Bull Ruler early, and it worked. Bull Nero was the name of the rabbit. The next start is at Saratoga on August the 6th, and he won going 7 furlongs. 11 days later, he won the Travers, beating Bureaucracy and Field of Honor. The Nassau County Handicap was on June the 18th. Set a new track record in that, 147-1. Beating older horses. Let's see, beat Dedicate and Renege. Renege was a real good horse. He was by Revoked. Stood down the Knuckle Brothers farm down in Hirschman Farm, down in Midway, Kentucky. And I really liked that horse. Bred a mare, but I bred a stakes winner by that horse. Well, not actually. I bred her to the horse and then sold the mare and foal to Renege. And the foal she was carrying was a stakes winner. Wow. Won the Equipoise Mile. Well, I wasn't down as breeder, Jackie, but...
But you did.
Yeah, well, I did, but I was too stupid to keep it. Won the Equipoise Mile up in at Arlington Park.
Sell and be sorry. sell and be sorry rather than not sell and be sorry.
Yeah.
That's how that goes. Something
yeah.
like that.
I think it's said a little differently, you know.
How is it said?
Well, I don't know. Where was I? Reneged, we were talking about. That was when Charles Alfred and Hiram had it down there. They stood a bunch of nice horses down there. Well, after he won the Nassau County Handicap 10 days later, he ran second to Dedicate in the Woodward. Bowruler ran third. On October the 12th, he won the Jockey Club Gold Cup, beating Third Brother and Reneg. Came back on November the 9th and ran second to Bowl Ruler in the Trenton Handicap with Round Table third. And that was his last start of the season. And it might have cost him the three-year-old championship because Round Table, I mean, he got beat pretty soundly that day by Bowl Ruler. He ended up the season with 14 starts, 8 wins, and 4 seconds. That's pretty darn good. Fourth in the other one, so he got a check every time he ran. Said new track. Well, here's how versatile that horse was. He set a new track record at 6 furlongs. He set a new track record at 1 1/8 and won the Jockey Club Gold Cup going 2 miles. So from 6 furlongs to 2 miles, he was a handful. Pretty good. Went to stud, and he did very well at stud. He sired 51 stakes winners. The best probably was, the best, period, was Gallant Bloom, who was the champion three-year-old filly her year. In fact, she wasn't beaten that year. And she raced for King Ranch. Coragioso was another top mare by Gallant Man. My Gallant, who won the Bluegrass Stakes out of Keeneland. Road Princess won the Mother Goose. Patty Cannon was another good race mare. I'm trying to think who she raced for. She might have run for Barbara Hunter, but Barbara, we're going to give it to you. Don't hold me to it, though. Spicy Living won the Mother Goose. That was another brilliant race mare. He was a better broodmare sire, though. They produced 89 stakes winners. His daughters did, including the champion two-year-old Lord Avey. What was the name of that comedian that I don't get no respect?
Oh, what was his name?
Do you remember that?
Rodney Dangerfield.
Well, the Lord, that's what they said about Lord Avey. He stood over at Lane's Inn.
Oh, yeah.
And he sired stakes winner after stakes winner and stakes winner.
We had a client that had shares in him. We were dragging mares over there all the time.
Yeah, and he'd stop them. Boy, all he had to do was look at them.
Yeah, and that guy did well.
Yeah, he did. But anyway, there's Claire Purdy from up in Michigan. But they said that he was the Rodney Dangerfield of the stallions around there because he didn't get no respect. But he was a very, very good sire. And let's see, who else did he? Oh, my God, I almost forgot. He sired Genuine Risk.
That'll help.
Yeah, Genuine Risk was a top race mare, of course, and won the Kentucky Derby. One of Twee. Guilty Conscience, I always liked that horse's name. If nothing else, I can relate to that.
Well, you never act guilty about it.
Well, no, I never act guilty, but I have feelings.
Oh, Lord, help us.
All righty, Jackie.
Now, when you go to WVLK, you can do an app, whatever that means, and you can get this show on the computer, on your iPhone, on your iPad, on whatever, anything else you want to get it on. And this is, what do you call it when it's all over the world? It's
Streaming.
This show has been streamed all over the world, and more has not broken out yet that we know of.
That's probably what's cooking.
That may be on some satellite coming our way. It's go boom, right down on top of us.
WLXG.
Yeah.
Is that what you get the stream on?
Yeah, you go to WLXG.com.
Yeah.
That's this very own station. And you find where it says app.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure what app is short for. Aptitude. Appliance. Application is what it is. And you apply it to your little gizmo, whatever it is.
Smartphone,
iPod, iPad, computer, and you can hear this foolishness anyway.
If you're into pain.
Exactly.
All right, well, that music means it's time for us to spit out the bit and move along.
Yeah, we've had a nice rain. I want to thank the Lord for the nice rain. We got a good one.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank Mary Jane down at the station. Jackie, I had a lawyer, a farm manager, and
the track man
setting this up here because Sean spit out the bit early. He had a car trouble.
That's what he said. Yeah. I think it was a blonde myself.
Okay.
But there you go.
Well. All right. We'll talk to you next week.
From the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG.